Good morning, everyone. Today is the 16th of November, 2023. Mark is ready for the second part of chapter 21 of the book, Holy Spirit by Arthur Pink.
Holy Spirit, chapter 21, part 2. The wayward child and the self-willed youth is guided by his own sanctified and unsubdued spirit. The man of the world is controlled by the spirit of the world. The wicked are governed by Satan, the spirit that now worketh in his children, must be in Ephesians 2:2. The children is to yield himself to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Yet a word of caution is needed at this point, for in one, there are many fanatics and pious people who do not, which is grossly dishonoring to God, and to plead that they were prompted by the Spirit so to act. To be led by the Spirit of God does not mean being influenced by unaccountable suggestions and uncontrollable impulses which result in conduct displeasing to God and often injurious to ourselves and others. No one indeed, not so does the Spirit of God lead anyone. There is a safe and sure criterion by which the Christian may gauge his inward impulses and ascertain whether there proceeds from his own restless spirit, evil spirit, the Spirit of God. The criterion is a written word of God, and by it all must be measured. The Holy Spirit never prompts anyone to act contrary to the Scriptures. How could he, when he is the author of them? His promptings are always in obedience to precepts of Holy Writ. Therefore, when a man who has not been distinctly called, separated, and qualified by God to be a minister of his word, undertakes to preach, no matter how strong the impulse, it proceeds not from the Holy Spirit. When a woman feeds, kneels to pray in public when men are present, she is moved by another spirit. If one claimed guidance in assuming an unequal yoke by marrying an unbeliever, 2 Corinthians 6:14 would prove conclusively that it was not the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fulfills his office of guide by three distinct operations. First, he communicates life and grace, a new nature. Second, he stirs that life into action and gives more grace. Third, he directs the action, the performance of duty, life, motion, and conduct are inseparable in nature and grace alike. First, the Holy Spirit quickens us in the newness of life, infusing gracious habits into the soul. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Ezekiel 36:26. Second, he moves into the soul and assists the new nature to act according to its own gracious habits and principles. He worketh in both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Third, he directs our actions by enlightening our understandings, guiding our inclinations, and moving our wills to do that which is pleasing to God. It's the last two we are now considering. Divine direction is prompted the saints. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he move to his mercy seat. Psalms 23:9. In this, not only by general directions, but by particular expectations, I am the Lord thy God, which teach thee me the out of Egypt, which guideth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Isaiah 48:16. Divine guidance is desired by the saints is a great necessary blessing. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I put my trust and wait all the day. Psalms 25:4-5. Mark the earnestness of this prayer. Show me, teach me, lead me. Note the argument, thou art the God of my salvation. It says pledge to undertake for me. Serve the opportunity. On thee do I wait all the day, as if he would not be left for a moment to his own poor wisdom and power. Even the new nature is utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Though the children of God are the light in the world, and Lord, the word Lord. 5:8. and have a great understanding of the way of godliness, yet much ignorance and darkness there remains in them, and therefore, in order to keep a steady and constant course of obedience, they need to be guided by the Holy Spirit, so that their light may be both directive and persuasive. Though Christians have a general understanding of their duty, yet to perform it in particular cases, much grace from God is needed by them. If left to themselves, their own corruption would bind and govern them, and therefore do they pray, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalm 119:133. The way to heaven is a narrow one, a hard to find, a harder still to be kept, except God teach us daily by his Spirit. Wisdom from on high is compelling me to know how to apply the rules of Scripture to all the very details of our lives. The Holy Spirit is the only fountain of holiness, and to him we must constantly turn for directions. But something more than knowledge is needed by us. The Spirit must persuade and incline our hearts and move our wills. How strong are our inclinations to sin, how easily fleshly impulses override our better judgment, how weak we are before temptation. We know that what we should do, but are carried away by corrupt affections, the contrary. And at this point, the Holy Spirit governs from within, first by the restrained emotions, bidding us to avoid and mortify sin, second by his quickening emotions, inviting us to the pursuit of holiness. And just so far as we yield to his strivings, are we led by the Spirit of God. As moral agents, we are responsible to cooperate with the Spirit and respond to his gentle sway over us. Alas, we so often fail to do so. But though he suffers us up to a certain point for our humbling, yet by his essential power, he prevents our making shipwreck of the faith, and after initiation means chastisements, conducts us safely to glory. In conclusion, we will seek to supply the answer to the following questions. How many Christians know whether they be among those who are led by the Spirit of God? Romans 8:14. In general, those who are directed by this divine guide are moved to examine their hearts and take frequent notice of their lives, the moral of carnality and perverseness, to confess their sins, to earnestly seek grace, to enable them to be obedient. They are moved to search the Scriptures daily to ascertain the things which God has privileged, the things which he enjoys. They are moved to increasing conformity to God's holy law, and increasing enabled to meet the requirements as wrought in them by the Spirit, blessed for them the means of grace. To be more specific, first, just so far as we are governed by the Spirit of God, we let for ourselves confidence in our own wisdom, dependence upon our own strength, and from trust in our own righteousness, we are led from self-willed, self-pleasing, self-ingratitude. Spirit conducts away from self unto God, yet let it be pointed out that this weaning us from ourselves is not accomplished in a moment, but is a perpetual, progressive thing. Alas, at best, God has but a portion of our affections. It is true there are moments when we sincerely and utterly desire to be fully and reservedly surrendered to him, but the engineering power some rival object soon discovers how partial and perfect our surrender has been. Second, just so far as we are governed by the Spirit of God, are we brought to occupation with Christ? To whom else in our deep need can we go? Who so well suited our misery and poverty, having severed us in some degree from ourselves? The Spirit brings us to the close realization of our union with the Savior. Are we conscious of our filth and guilt? The Spirit leads to about love of Christ. Are we sorely tried and oppressed? The Spirit leads unto him who is able to succor and be tempted. Are we mourning our emptiness and barrenness? The Spirit leads to one who dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. The special office of the Spirit to take of the things of Christ and show them to us. Third, just so far as we are governed by the Spirit of God, are we connected along the highway of holiness? The Spirit leads the Christian away from the vanities of the world to satisfy the light which is to be found, Lord. He turns us from the husk which the swine feed upon to spiritual realities, drawing our affection to things above. He moves us to seek after more intimate and more constant communion with God. which can only be obtained by separation from that which he abhors. His aim is to conform us more to the image of Christ. Finally, he will conduct us to heaven, for the Spirit is both the pledge and the earnest.
Well, we will see you this tomorrow. Lord be in the night. Hope you have a good day.